Boston, October 1891. Jolene Crawford Crenshaw sat on one of two chairs just feet from the burial plot. Graveyard attendants held the rope suspending the casket above the deep hole in the ground and began to let loose their ends, inches at a time. Jolene watched the casket disappear as it was slowly lowered into the ground. Her husband's mother shuddered when the box was no longer visible above the grass, then lurched forward and sobbed aloud. Jolene sat back in her chair and stared straight ahead while her brother-in-law knelt on the ground to embrace and comfort his mother. Jolene listened to the drone of the minister's final words. The netting on her hat whipped against her face as mourners moved away and the wind was free to chill her.
"Come, Jolene," her sister Jennifer said. "Turner's brothers will attend to Mrs. Crenshaw. Come away, dear."
Jolene looked at her younger sister, giving direction to her, and very nearly corrected Jennifer aloud, but that would not do. No one must think her as anything but a grieving widow. She nodded at Jennifer, stood, and allowed her father, William Crawford, to wrap one arm around her and hold her other arm as if she were going to crumble at any moment. They were stopped, almost immediately, by Evelyn Prentice. She clutched Jolene's hand.
"My dear, I'm so terribly sorry about this, especially considering, well, I'm just terribly sorry."
"Thank you, Mrs. Prentice," Jolene said. "We are all bearing up as best we can."
"Of course you are," she said, and looked away for a brief moment.
"Where is Jane? Where is your mother today?"
"Not feeling well, I'm afraid," her father said. "We didn't think this chilly weather would be good for her. She is, of course, devastated that she was unable to attend."
Evelyn Prentice nodded.
"I will wait a few days to call on her, then."
"She will be happy for the diversion, Mrs. Prentice," Jennifer said.
Her father turned to the waiting carriage and handed her and her sister inside. Jolene leaned her head back against the tufted leather seats and closed her eyes. How long until she was in her own rooms and able to shed this facade?
"Will you be checking in on Mother before you go home to Landonmore?" Jennifer asked. "She has letters and telegrams that have arrived for you."
"I won't have time to visit with Mother," she said. "I'll be accepting visitors this afternoon, and I imagine there will be a significant number of them."
"There will be, I'm sorry to say," her father said. "Even with Turner's sometimes curious behavior as of late, his Boston connections are sterling. There will be some from Washington as well."
"What time should I arrive, Jolene? I'm going to stop to see Mother, and then I will make myself available to you. Are you coming, Father?"
Jennifer asked.
"If Jolene wants me there, I will,"
he said, and faced her.
"What would you prefer?"
She would prefer that she was far, far away from the questions, that she was somewhere no one knew her. She could not take the pity, she thought with some anger. She could not. Jolene took deep breaths to calm her racing heart and looked at her sister.
"You've no need to trouble yourself, Jennifer. Certainly there is something you would prefer to be doing than holding my hand and making dreadfully repetitive small talk."
Jennifer stared at her incredulously.
"Jolene," she said softly. "You are my sister, and your husband has just died. A young man, no less. A tragedy. I will stay with you while you make your greetings to Turner's friends. Julia would as well if she were able to be here."
Julia. Their sister Julia would as likely poison her wine as comfort her or share the burden of greeting guests.
"Highly unlikely, Jennifer. Julia would pay me no kindnesses, as you well know."
Jennifer shook her head.
"That's not true."
She looked to their father for affirmation, but he was determinedly staring out the window of the carriage. The coach was silent until Jolene heard Jennifer sniffle and watched her sister wipe her eyes.